Okay, good morning everybody and a guten kvittel. Today's daf is Babasa Daf Kuf Yud. We are holding already on Daf Kuf Yud Amr Aleph. We are at Amar Rava, four lines into the page, on Daf Kuf Yud Amr Aleph. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Goldaba Simcha Aleha Shalom, and Shamash Shalom and Aliyah, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. Also sponsored by an appreciative Daf listener for the accessibility of the share. We thank him very much. Also sponsored by Rabbi Meir Bruckheimer, in loving memory of Hindel Bas Eliyakim HaKohen, Zechrona Levracha, Nesham Shav Naliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to discuss is that when one gets married, it's a good idea to investigate the family. So the Gemara is going to be more specific about which elements of the family are worthwhile investigating in order to know that one is marrying a good person. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the Kohen for the Pesel Micha, Yehonasan, who we started to discuss yesterday, who served as a Kohen for the Pesel Micha. So we're going to discuss the conversation that happened between him and the people of the Shevet of Dan, and they were questioning how a guy like him from a family like his ends up in a job like that, doing being a Kohen for Avodah Zarah. So he gives his explanation, and then the Gemara is going to go back to Dinim of Yerusha, and we're going to discuss how we know that it's true that that Banim are Yoresh before Banos, that if there are any Banim, then the daughters do not get a Yerusha, the sons get the Yerusha. So the Gemara is going to discuss what the source for that is, and we're going to have a lengthy discussion, follow-up discussion to that. So let's begin the fourth line on the page, on Daf Kuf Yud Amr Aleph. Amar Rava, Hanosi Isha Tzarech Sheyivdok Ba'acheha. That if a person, when a person gets married, you have to look at her brothers to be able to see what kind of people they are, because most often the children that you're going to have from that woman are going to be most similar to the to their mother's brother, to your wife's brother. So you want to make sure that that he's a good person. The Me'iri explains that all Masei Ha'adam, everything a person does, including when he does the mitzvah of nisuin, has to be done l'shem shamayim, and the whole the goal of getting married l'shem shamayim is to be able to be mamid doros, to be able to have children and doros that are going to be oved HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore that has to be the prime thing that one is looking at, is what are the chances that my children are going to be the kinds of people I want them to be if I marry this woman. So of all the lists and the qualifications and whatever that that a person may have, checklists or whatever that they have and what they're looking for in a wife, the number one item on the list, says the Me'iri, based on this Gemara, is that that she'll be a good mother to children who are, and she'll raise those children properly. So that's why you look at Acheha, because that's the best indicator of what the children are going to be like. I always thought that's what the Gemara in Yevamos meant, that Ein Isha Elo Lebanim, that it sounds like a very, not so nice Gemara. That if you translate it as women are only good for children, meaning what do you mean? They're not. There are lots of things that I always tell Chassadim. A marriage is so valuable on so many levels in terms of companionship and partnership and love and all of these things, all these great things. Ein Isha Lebanim means the primary thing is Lebanim. The primary thing that one is looking for is that she'll be able to raise children properly. That's the primary goal of marriage. So anyway, Shenemar, how do I know that you should be bodik ba'achel? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Ve'yikach Aaron es Elisheva bas Aminadav achos Nachshon. That Aaron married Elisheva bas Aminadav, the sister of Nachshon. So mimashva Shenemar bas Aminadav, once you tell me that she's the daughter of Aminadav, ein yodeh she'achos Nachshon hi, don't I realize that she's the achos Nachshon? Obviously, you know that Aminadav's son is Nachshon, so you might think, well, I didn't know that. How would I know that Aminadav's son is Nachshon? So it's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, right? It's not in Chumash that there was a son Nachshon to Aminadav, but it's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, Aminadav holed es Nachshon. So once you know that Aminadav holed es Nachshon from Divrei Hayamim, so then you know that if you know all of Tanakh, so then you know that Elisheva is obviously Achos Nachshon. So why does it have to say Matal Malomar Achos Nachshon? Why does it left to then say that Dafka Zachos Nachshon. Ah, Mikan, Shanos Isha Tzarech Shivdok Pachecha. So you see from here that when one gets married, one has to examine the woman's brothers. And therefore, the Pasuk says that she's Zachos Nachshon to say that that's why he married her, because she was the sister of Nachshon, who was a Nasi Lamata Yehuda. And therefore, he was a very chashuv person. So that's the idea. Now, the Marsha points out that there are other places where the Torah is miyaches a woman to her brothers. You have it in the very beginning of the Chumash, in Bereishis, achos tu valkaya nama. So you have it right away in Parshas Bereishis. And the Gemara doesn't ask on that, v'chien yodeh shachosi, I don't know that it's a sister. Of course I know it's a sister. No, but over there, it's not miyaches her to her father just prior to that. Over the Chiddush over here is that it says that she was Elisheva Basa Minadav, so it was ready Miyachis her to her father. And then it says Achos Nachshon. So that's what jumps out at the Gemara. You just told me who she is and what family she's from. Why do you have to then identify the brother? Oh, so that's what the Gemara says, that it must be that there's something to learn from the fact that that we identify her with her brother. So the Gemara says, and we have a Braisa that makes the same point. Tana, Rov Banim Domin L'Achei Ha'Eim. Most of the sons are similar to the Achei Ha'Eim, and therefore you should be Bodek Ba'Acheha. The Marsha points out that the Marsha points out that the reason that Rov Banim are similar to Achei Ha'Eim is because of what the Gemara says in Nida Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says that the Ikur Gufo Shel Adam is created from his mother, that the primary parts of the person's body really come from the mother, and therefore he's going to be most similar to the mother's gene pool. So the brothers and the sisters that are born from Bet Rachas are as close in nature to each other as they could possibly be. The Maral writes that which it says Dafka Acheha Isha is because the Zachar is Bamina Isha. That's another Gemara Nida, the same Daf, Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis. It says Eli Bnei Leah Asher Yoldo Liakov Bepadan Aram VeEzdina Bito, that the Bnei are Bnei Leah. Dina is Bito, is Yaakov's daughter. So you see from there that the Zacharim are Tluyim b'Nekevos, and the Nekevos are Tluyim b'Zacharim. That the girls take after dad, and the boys take after mommies. So that's why they have such an expression, daddy's girl and a mama's boy, right? Meaning because that's the way it actually works. Therefore, it makes sense that you're gonna look at the mother's family if you want to know what your children are going to be like, rather than say, well, my boy's going to be just like me, you know. So that's the way I assume it's all gonna work out. So he should assume, he should know that he's going to be like the mother, not like the father. In the Yun Yaakov, he explains that the Tana is coming to be metarates, meaning what did the Braisa really add? Rov Banim Domin L'Achei Ha'Eim. We already just said this. So he's, the Tana is coming to be metarates, that you shouldn't say that the reason you have to be Bodek Ba'Acheha is that Kol Habanim Domin L'Achei Ha'Eim, because that's for sure not true. It's not Kol Habanim. So the Tana is adding a detail that it's Rov. So you play the odds, but you can't, there are no guarantees in life. And the Raya is from Yaakov Avinu, that he was not similar to Lavan, Achi Imo, and therefore it says, Rov Banim Ardom L'Achei Ha'Eim. You see in Chumash itself, that among the Avos, that Yaakov Avinu was nothing like his mother's brother. His mother's brother was an awful person, and he was a big, big tzaddik. So you see that it's not 100%. Okay, so now the Gemara goes back to the discussion of Yonasan, who was the Kohen for the Pesel Micha. So in the beginning of the days of the Shoftim, Shevet Dan had not yet secured where their Nachla and Eretz Yisrael was going to be. They didn't yet have the proper Nachla, and therefore they sent five people out on a scouting mission to go look for the Nachla. So when they came near the house of Micha, they heard Yohanan speaking with somebody else, and they recognized his voice. So the pasuk says Vayasuru, and the Girsa changed Vayasuru Sham Vayomru Lo. They turned toward his house, and the Anshe Dan said to Yohanan, Mi have Yachalom Umata Osa Bzeh. Umalachapo. You know, basically, huh? Like, what's going on? How, but they ask three different questions, but it's really the same question. You know, who are you with? What are you doing? And what are they paying you? And they ask them three different ways. Miyaviachalo, mata osabza, umalachapo. So the Gemara explains that they were being berames, but with those three questions to his yichus, that he was a miyuchas achar Moshe Rabbeinu. We said he was a ben Gershom, ben Menashe, but we said in yesterday's daf, not ben Menashe, ben Moshe. We just didn't want to embarrass Moshe Rabbeinu that he had a descendant like this. So they took Moshe Rabbeinu's name and added a nun into the name, and he was also Maisa Menashe and things like that. But that's why you have in the klaf of a navi, the nun is a little bit off to show that it's not really supposed to be there, that he's really a ben Moshe. So Amrulo, love me Moshe causes. They said to him, you're a descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu. Tichsiv bey, and it says about Moshe Rabbeinu when he came close to the snare, Al tikrav alom, don't come close here. Love me Moshe causes. Question number two, don't you come from Moshe Rabbeinu? Tichsiv bey, about whom it says when he was sent to go redeem Klal Yisrael, to go get Klal Yisrael of Mitzrayim, mazeh biyodecha, when he was holding the matah. And not only that, love me Moshe causes. The third question, Tichsiv bey, it says about Moshe Rabbeinu after that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him after Matan Torah, va'ata po amoni madi, that I want you to stay with me, and you come from his descendants, you come from his children, tasa kohen l'avodah zarah, you're going to become a kohen l'avodah zarah. It's unthinkable. So the Re'af points out that the reason the Gemara has to say that you have hidden in their question, you have this drasha, and that it's not simply kipshuta, is because in addition to being bothered by why they have to say the same thing three times, but they changed their lashon each time. You could have just said three times the word halom, or three times the word po, or three times the word bazeh. So it must be that the pasuk is telling me a drasha, that you're supposed to learn something, that each one is alluding to something else. And the Re'af explains that the explanation of the drasha is, they said, how could you be mevakish kahuna from Moshe, that it was mevakish kahuna malchus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, al tikrav alom. Tikrav is lashon karban, that the kahuna is not for you. Al tikrav alom. You don't get to bring karbanos. That's going to be Aaron's job. Right? We learned that the Chazal tell us that Moshe at that meeting was mevakish kahuna and he was mevakish malchus, and he was rejected on both counts. There's a beautiful, I think it's Mariel Diskin, that Rabbi Isaac Bernstein's Zichron Levracha quoted in his Parsha Shiurim, that Al Tikrav Halom, Shalna Alecha Me'al Raglecha, is that he came upon, Chazal tell us that the place of the Sneh was the Makam HaMikdash, it was Makam Di Azara. And there's a Gemara, I think in Chulin, that says that when a person is 80 years old, if they're a normal 80-year-old, in order to take off their shoes, they need to sit down. They can't take off their shoes standing up. And the Gemara says about one of the Amoraim who was 80 years old, and because his mother, when he was a child, would anoint him with special oils, so he was very flexible, and I guess he did a lot of yoga or whatever, so he was able to take off his shoes at the age of 80, standing up. But normal 80-year-olds can't do that. They can't take off their shoes standing up. They have to sit down. And where do we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was Mevakish Malchus? So I think Mariel Diskin says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Al tikrav alom, don't get any closer, because if you get any closer, yeah, I mean, I have to ask you to remove your shoes, and you're going to have to sit. En yeshiva bazara el malchus beis David bilvad. You're not from the malchus beis David. You need to back up a little bit before you remove your shoes. So, and then they said to him, Maze biyodecha. So the Chazal darshin in Shemos Rabbah that he was punished, the Moshe Rabbeinu was punished for a davar kal, because he said vehin lo yaminu li. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Maze shabiyodecha, the thing in your hand is you're going to be punished with it. And now Yehonah's son is not believing in Torah's Moshe, who is Mazir against Avodah Zarah. And also about Moshe, it says, Va'atopo Amodi Madi. And you're listening to Micha, who says, Shva'i Madi. And you become a Komer L'Avodah Zarah by listening to Micha. So all of these things relate to lessons that he should have learned from the Zayda's life, from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Marsha just says they said to him, by Moshe it says, Mazir Biyadecha, that he did all of everything he did was with the matah, with the shlichus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had identified the matah early on in their relationship and said, now hang on to that, because you're going to need that for a lot of the stuff that you're about to do. And you, everything Moshe did was in the shlichus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're standing here by an avodah zarah. And he said, Moshe was in the sky of HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than anybody else, and you're as distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a person could be. Next to an avodah zarah, is as distant as one could possibly be from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So they gave him quite a Musar Shmuz for his choice of profession in being a Kohen Avodah Zarah. So Yehonasan responded, and he said, Amar Lahem, Kach Mekublali Min Beis Avi Abba, I'm following family tradition, that I have a tradition in my family from Moshe Rabbeinu, Li'olam Yaskar Adam Atzma La'Avodah Zarah, Val Yitzarech L'Brios, that it's better to work for an Avodah Zarah rather than to have to collect tzedakah, that if that's the way I can make a parnasa, is that there are no good rabbi jobs, so I should be a priest, and that's the best way to make a parnasa, so that's what I'm supposed to do. V'hu Savar, and Yehonasan thought that he meant La'Avodah Zarah Mamish, meaning there taka was such a tradition in the family, but the phrase Avodah Zarah could mean two things. It could mean Avodah Zarah, meaning like the way we refer to it as idolatry, or it could be an Avodah, which is Zara, a job that is strange to you, that is difficult to you, that doesn't come naturally to you, that is foreign to you. And that was the real tradition. He thought it was Avodah Zarah Mamish, that rather than being the Tzarech Lebrios, you should look for Avodah Zarah. Velohi, it's not true. El Avodah Zarah, Avodah Shezara, lo! It means you're supposed to do something that's beneath your dignity, rather than take money from other people. Kedam le Rav the Rav Kahana, like Rav said to Rav Kahana, Netosh Nevil to Beshuka, Ushkol Agra, go skin nevelos in the shuk as your profession, and get paid for that. Velo tema gavar rabba anovizila bimilsa. And don't say, no, I'm a gavar rabba, it's beneath my dignity to do things like that. If that's the job that's available and you can't get a different job, then it's not beneath your dignity. Then that's what a person is supposed to do. The Rashbam writes that it's not included in what the Pasuk of Mishlei says of Misale Avu Maves, where Chazal Darshan Shabbos Tav Kuf Yudalin Al Tikri Misane El Masniyai Elu Amechal Lemes Hashem, and it gives examples. Who's a Mechal Hashem? A Talmud Chacham that is a Revav Al Bigdo, where it's a Bizayun and Nechil Hashem. So one might think if a Talmud Chacham, even with an oil stain on his beged, is considered a Chil Hashem, and it's a terrible thing, and Masniyai, and you're causing people to hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you do something demeaning, so it's even worse than a Revav Al Bigdo. So I would think that's even worse. So that's what the Rashbam writes. No, to do malacha k'dei l'sparnes is not a bizayon. If a person works hard to make an honest living, no matter what that living is, and if that's the way you can make a living, that's not a bizayon. That's a kavod, to be able to work hard to make an honest living. Maram Shif writes that the Gemara uses the lashon of Avodah Zarah to tell me that someone who's not Nitzarech Lebrios and does a malacha that's bezuya, it's ki'ilu avir Avodah Zarah. Meaning the fact that we call it Avodah Zarah should indicate something to us also. Meaning if a person is a very dignified person and he has other ability to feed himself and his family and he chooses to do something that's bezionos, so that taka is ki'ilu, he's avir Avodah Zarah. So now the Gemara tells what happened to Yehonasan at the end of the day. When David HaMelech saw how much he loved money, that he was willing to do this for money, he appointed him to be in charge of the Otsaros, to be in charge of the treasury. The Marsha points out, because he saw that he loved money, so he's not going to be Mevazvez, he's not going to waste the money. And generally speaking, the person you want in charge of your money is someone who really likes money, someone who values it a lot, doesn't treat money lightly, and is not going to let it go so easily, right? Meaning your accountant, generally, there's a thing that accountants typically tend to be frugal. So which one came first? I don't know, but that's the way things often work. I know I'm the son of an accountant, so I heard my mother tell my father that all the time. So Shanemra, the Pasuk says, Shmuel ben Gershom ben Menashe nugget ala Otsaros, that he was Memuna, he was appointed on the Otsaros. So all the other Memunim are lower than him. He was the one that was in charge of the Otsaros. V'chi Shavuel Shemo, what's his name? Shavuel, fellow Yehonasan Shemo. We know his name was Yehonasan. How do you know? We just know that Shavuel ben Gershom, and Yehonasan was also son of Gershom. How do you know that they were the same person? Maybe they were brothers. So the Rashbam points out that Gershom only had one son. That's Pasuk in Divrei Yamim, Ubnei Gershom Shavuel Arosh, that it only lists one. So we know that he only had one son. So if he only had one son, this Shavuel must have been the same person as Yehonah's son. So how come he's called Shavuel over there? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan explains that his name was Yehonah's son. They called him Shavuel Sheshav Lekel B'Kol Libo. He did Tshuva B'Kol Libo. And since he did Tshuva B'Kol Libo, that's that's why David HaMelech, once he became a Baal Tshuva, David HaMelech appointed him in charge of the treasury. So the Yerushalmi raises the question, the Yerushalmi in the ninth parak of Brachos, that it says that he served the Pesel Hadani ad Yom Galus Haaretz. So it sounds like he went back, he was serving that Pesel forever, right, until the bitter end. Doesn't sound like he did tshuva b'lev shalem. So the Yerushalmi says that after David HaMelech died and Shlomo HaMelech came in his place, he switched all of the officers, all of the sarim, all of the cabinet, and Yehonasan, he fired Yehonasan also. Yehonasan was a David appointee. So when Shlomo took over, he wanted his own appointees. So he fired him from the secretary of the treasury, and then he went back, l'kukulo arishon, then he went back to his old ways, and he went back to doing Avodah Zarah, which is remarkable, because what does the Gemara say? He's called Shvuel Sheshav Lekel Bechol Libo. Well, what's Tshuva Shlema? The Rambam describes Tshuva Shlema as that Yair Alav Yodea Talumos HaKadosh Baruch will be made about him, that Li Olam, he's never going to return to this Aver, and he's never, right? That's real Tshuva. And here, he went back, and it describes that it was Bechol Libo. So must mean that that a person could be Shav Bechol Libo, he still has even if at that moment he was shav b'chal libo, he could be influenced by different things that happened in his life, and that's why a person is not supposed to trust himself ad yom moso. What do you mean? I did tshuva b'chal libi, so I know yeid alav yodea talumos. So, but no, a person is can never trust themselves. The tshuva has to be lasting. That's our daf yomi coincidence for the day after our service made tshuva. The tshuva has to be continually worked upon, even after you think you've accomplished the tshuva. The Ben Yoyada writes that the Gemara was medactic to say that he was shav b'chal libo, because in the end he was shav l'kulkulo, and nevertheless, even though he was shav l'kulkulo, he was leiv shalem, because he really it was not. His heart was not in the Avodah Zarah. He was not really interested anymore. The Yerushalmi says, how could he be a Kohen to a Pesel, to an Avodah Zarah, and still be Zochat Arichas Yamim? So the Yerushalmi says that he wasn't a Kohen B'chal Libo. I mean, he did Tshuva B'chal Libo when he went back to being a Kohen Avodah Zarah. That wasn't B'chal Libo. He was Eino Tzara B'Avodah Zarah. He didn't believe in the Avodah Zarah. He was Mezalzal in the Avodah Zarah. So if a person would want to come bring a Karban to the Pesel, he would say, the Avodah Zarah doesn't see it, doesn't hear, it doesn't do any bad, it doesn't do any good, it doesn't, it's nothing, it's a pesel, it doesn't do anything. So the person who wanted to bring a carbon to the Avodah Zarah would ask him, this is all in the Yerushalmi, would ask him, so what should we do? So he said, bring a plate of nice fine flour and 10 eggs, and I'll speak to the Avodah Zarah for you, and then the person would leave, and he said, okay, now I have lunch, and he would eat it, and he would eat the lunch. So that was he wasn't b'chal libo with the Avodah Zarah. Okay, so now back to Dinam of Yerusha. V'abanim esa'av. So banim yarshin a father, and that goes in both directions. So minallah. So the Gemara is being medayik from Lashon of the Mishnah. Habanim esa'av, not habanim v'habanos esa'av. So we see from there that the banim are kodim in labanos in Yerusha sa'av, that the sons get, not the daughters, when there are sons. So minallah. How do I know that banim come before banos? Tichsiv, because the pasuk says ish ki yamus. It says when a man dies, and then uven ein lo v'avartim es nachlaso lebito. So taima de ein lo ben. The reason that we're mavir the nachla to the daughter is only because Uvenainlo, he doesn't have a son. Hayeshlo ben kodem. But if he does have a son, then the son would come before the daughter. So that's the source. Amalei Rav Papa l'Abaye. Rav Papa says to Abaye, maybe that's not what the pasuk is coming to teach me. Ema, maybe what the pasuk is coming to teach me is, granted, the pasuk says if he doesn't have a son, the Yerusha goes to the daughter. But it doesn't say what happens if he has a son and a daughter. Maybe iika bein leirus ben. Maybe if he has a son, good, let the son get the Yerusha. Iika bas, terus bas. If he has only daughter, let the daughter get the Yerusha. What if he has children of both genders? Ika ben ubas, lo hai leirus v'lo hai leirus. Doesn't say. Maybe neither of them should get the Yerusha if he has a son and a daughter. Says the Gemara, no, that can't be what it means, because that's ridiculous, right? Why would that be? That he has children and none of the children are going to get the Yerusha. Ve'elamai leirus. So who's going to be Yoresh? The ben and if the ben and the bas, who are the closest relatives, are not going to be Yoresh. Atu bar kasha demasa leirus. What, do you want the government to take all the money? The moshel of the city should be the one to take all the money. It should all go to Uncle Sam. So the and all the other krovim are clearly not considered krovim at all in place of a ben ubas. So they might as well be the Moshe Ha'ir. They might as well be the, you know, some person who's not related. So it doesn't make any sense. That's what the Ritva points out. I mean, why does the Gemara go straight from the ben ubas to the Moshe Ha'ir? It should have just said, you think the uncle should get the Yerusha? It should have mentioned the relative. So the Ritva says, because every other relative, Klape and Ben Ubas, are not really related. They don't count as a relative in comparison to Ben Ubas. So it says Mar Hachi Kamina. Iko Ben Ubas, lo hai leirus kule, velo hai leirus kule, el ki adadi lirtu. The Gemara was suggesting not that if there's a son and a daughter, that neither should you be Yoresh, but that they should share the Yerusha, which is a very reasonable thing. The Gemara and Daf Kufta Samaral had a machlokas tanoim, whether the psukim in the Parsha of Nachlos are kisidron or shalokis. Are they being mentioned? Are they mentioned in order or not? So the Rashba, quoted in Tosos and Amud Aleph, is mochiach from Rav Papa that the entire sugya is assuming like the shita that holds that the pesukim are shelo kesidron. Because if they are kesidron, why do you need to change the mashmos, the simple mashmos of the pasuk, and say that the ben and bas are shavim? Meaning, is ben is mentioned before bas, so that would be it. So it must be that they're shelo kesidron. That's why we're struggling with this of who really comes first, or does one actually come first? So that's what the Gemara is suggesting. Maybe the Ben and Bas split it. So asks Abaye and Rav Papa, Amle Abaye. So Abaye says to Rav Papa, according to you that they both got Yerusha B'Shava, it turns out that the Pasuk V'Avartim is Nachlas Olibito is telling me that even when you don't have a son, the daughter will be Yorish. That's what I need a Pasuk to tell me. That Heichad Alaslei Alechad Bra Lirtinu L'Kuli Nichsi, that where you only have one son, he'll be Yorish all the Nechasim, and since a Ben and a Bas are exactly the same, it's the exact same thing as two sons, according to what you're saying. So the pasuk does not need to be mechadesh that when she's alone, she's going to yarshin everything. So why does the pasuk say that? So it says more of a dilma hakamashmon. The bas nami bas yirushi. Maybe that when it says vavartim, it's coming to tell me that the daughter is also among the yarshim. So Abaye says, no, I don't need another pasuk to be mechadesh that. Hahu mivachol bas yoreshes nachla nafka. That din that a bas is also one of the Yarshim, I learned from the Kol Bas Yoreshes Nachla. So when it says Ven Ein Lo, it's extra to tell me that a Ben is Kodem Labas. And that's how I know from the Pasuk Ven Ein Lo that a Ben is Kodem Labas. So now the Gemara says maybe there are other Makoros that tell me that a Ben is Kodem Labas for Yerusha. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar Mehacha. Maybe we derive it from the following. When the Benos Slavchad demanded their Chelek in Eretz Yisrael, they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lama Yigara Shem Avinu Mitoch Mishpachto Ki Ein Lo Bain. So from the fact that they gave a reason for their taina is ki ein lo bain, they said, why should our father's family not get anything just because he didn't have any sons? So it sounds like taima ein lo bain. The only reason they had any taina was because it was ein lo bain. Yesh lo bain, but if he had a son, ben kodem, then they wouldn't have had a taina. They would have been perfectly happy to say, we understand that the ben is kodem, and that's a raya, that the ben is kodem lebas. The Rabbeinu Yonah says, how do you know that's what they meant? Maybe they meant to say, we the daughters want everything, because had he had a son, we would have been willing to share with him. Not that he would have gotten everything. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, no, because if they would have been Yorish together with him, if they had a son, then it would be Pashut. Then when he doesn't have a son, that they Yarshin everything, they wouldn't have needed to say, ki ein lo ben. Meaning if a ben and a bas are equal, so just like, you know, if there are five children, the five children don't need to go to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, if he would have had six children, they all would have shared the estate. So now we five children want to share the estate. Well, obviously, meaning if a ben and a bas were equal, kien lo ben doesn't make any sense. So kien lo ben only makes sense because if you're working with the assumption that had there been a ben, then he would have gotten everything. So says Gemara, no, that's not what Benos Slavchad are saying. V'dilma Benos Slavchad, hu dekamrin hachi. Maybe the Benos Slavchad were saying this because they thought that a ben is kodem, but in the Torah is chach halacha. But I mean, it is what they were saying, but it's not a reflection of the halacha. The ben, once the Torah was given, halacha maybe was nischadesh, that a ben and bas are yorish together, and not like the Bnos Slavchad thought. So you can't bring a raya from what the Bnos Slavchad assumed the natural order of Yerusha would have been. Now we have a Torah that tells us the halacha. So it must be that our original answer is Ishkiyamus ben Einlo is the source that a ben is called him labas. Rava Amr Mehacha. Rava says we could darshan from what it says in the end of Parsha, the Parsha of Nachlos. It says that Hakarove love. It says Masatim is Nachla so the she'ero Hakarove love, that you give the Nachla to the she'er that's Karove love. So we darshan that Hakarov Karov Kodem, that whoever is closest to the mace is the one that is Kodem the Yerusha. And since the ben is closer than the bas, so he's Kodem the Nachla. What do you mean the ben is closer than the bas? So it means halachically what we said before, as far as Yiyud, as far as Steyachuza, there are halachos that a ben is Mimali Makam of the father and not the bas. Umay korva de ben mi bas, and where do we find that the ben is taka closer than the daughter? So sheben kam takasav liyada l'steyachuza, that the ben could marry the shivcha haknanis of his father, just like the father can, and he could be pod to the steyachuza that the father was makdish, and it will go back to the father at Yovel and not go to the kohanim at Yovel, whereas the bas is not able to be miyaid and is not able to be pod to the steyachuza. But as far as that's concerned, he should not be considered more karov than the bas, because Ya'ada, the fact that the daughter is not able to be miyaid the shivcha kananis, is not because she's less of a relative, it's just because bas lav bas Ya'ada hi. She's not shayich to Yud because she can't marry a woman. So it's obvious that she can't do Yud. It's Yevshar. Not because she's not as close of a relative, it's because she's not shayich to the old parsha. Steyachuzanami. And when it comes to Steyachuzah also, it's not that the son is closer, a closer relative than the daughter, because the daughter is also ratwi to be poda, her father's field, because the whole reason the ben is adif from the brother and the achiva, the brother of the makdish, it cannot be poda the field, is mehai pircha gufahu. It's only because of this pircha, da kaimele the Tana, klum yishnibu mele b'makum she'ein ben, that it was clear to the Tana that taught this din, that a brother doesn't have a din of yibu unless there is no son. So since we find with regard to Yibum that a ben is closer than a brother, so when it comes to Steyachuzah, we say, okay, so the ben could be pulled to the Steyachuzah and not the brother. Well, think about it. If a man dies and he has a daughter, there's also no Yibum. So the same Limud that told me that the son can be pulled to the Steyachuzah and not the brother should tell me that a daughter can be po de steachuza and not the brother. So a bas is every bit as close as a ben is. So how can you tell me that a ben is a closer relative than a bas, and that's why the ben is going to be kodem liyerusha, because a ben is closer than a bas? The only two rayas that you have that a ben is closer than a bas is because the ben could do yiyud on the shivcha kananis that the father designates, and that the ben could be po de steachuza, and it will stay in the family, that at the Yovel it will go back to the father. Neither of those are a good raya. The ben could do yiyud and not the bas, because the bas can't marry a girl, so that's why she can't do yiyud. The ben could be po to the steyachuza and not the bas. It's not true. The bas could also be po to the steyachuza. The only reason we thought that only a ben could be po to the steyachuza is because we know that a brother can't, and a ben is a closer relative than a brother based on the parsha of Yibum. Well, based on the parsha of Yibum, a bas is also closer relative than a brother. So because of this dechia, the Gemara says, "Mechavarta k'dushan meikara." So we got to go back to the original answer that it's ish ki yamus ben ein lo. Right? You want to know how I know that a ben Yarshin said not a bas. So we first had this pasuk of ben ein lo. We tried two other things. We tried from Bnos Slavchad, and we rejected the raya from Bnos Slavchad because it could be that nit the Torah v'nischad shalacha. And we tried from Karov Kodem, but we rejected that because there is no indication that a ben is a closer relative than a bas. V'ibay, so the Gemara says maybe there's another makor. Let's try again. V'ibay say mehacha. Maybe we learn it from Eved Kanani where it says v'snachaltem osam livnechem acharechem. Levnechem. So in fact that it says Levnechem, it doesn't say Lezarachem, which would include a daughter as well. It sounds like Benechem velo Benosechem. Right? It doesn't say children, it says Benechem, that Yerusha goes to Benechem. So maybe we learn from there that Lebnechem velo Benosechem, that if you have sons, it goes to the sons, not to the daughters. So I asked the Gemara, Elameyato, according to that, that which it says in the Parsha of Mezuzah, Leman Yirbu Yumechem Vimei Benechem, that the big school of Mezuzah is that your children and you're going to live a long life, and you may b'neichem, your b'neichem are going to live a long life. How can I b'neichem lo b'noseichem? You think that means b'neichem and not b'noseichem, that the bundles don't get a bracha? The Ritva explains that it was clear that that's not the case, because the pasuk says the gabi mezuzah that women are chayiv mezuzah as well. So it wouldn't be shy. That's what the gemara is an expression that well, you think only men want to live a long life, women don't want to live a long life, right? It's that same pasuk. The Gemara in Brachos says from that pasuk that who was it? One of the Amorayim was surprised that Ika Sabi beBavel, that there were old people in Bavel, because it says Leman Yibri Mechem Mechem Al Adama. So it's only in Eretz Yisrael. But once they saw that they're Maktami LeBeik Nishta, that they come early to Shul. Another Dav Yom coincidence. We start the day after Yom Kippur 1 minute early, so they come early to Shul. So then they knew that they're latching on to that which is that which provides Arichas Yom. But anyway, so says the Gemara, don't you see from that pasuk that Beneichem does not mean only sons, it means daughters as well? Says the Gemara, Bracha Shaini. No, when it comes to Bracha, it's different. That's said to Klal Yisrael in general, and it includes daughters as well, even though it doesn't use the generic term of Zarachem. A Bracha is never split. A Bracha is always Shalim. So Misvara, it means Beneichem and Benosechem. But when it comes to Nachala, so if the pasuk wanted to include both sons and daughters, it should have said so. It should have said Zarachem. Then the Mishnah said, Va'achin mina'av nochlinu manchilin. Paternal brothers are nochlinu manchilin to one another. Minayin, minolan rather. How do I know that only achim mina'av are nochlinu manchilin, whereas achim mina'im, maternal brothers, are not nochlinu manchilin? So Rabba asya achva achva mi bnei Yaakov. We learn from the bnei Yaakov. It says by the bnei Yaakov, that Vayom Shneim Asar Avdecha Achim Anachnu Bnei Ish Echad. They said we are 12 brothers, meaning when they're introducing themselves to Yosef, not knowing that he's Yosef, we're 12 brothers Bnei Ish Echad. So in the parsha of Nachlos Ros says in the Satam Snachloso Li Echad. So we learn from Gzeir Shava Mala Halah, just like Bnei Yaakov, when they used the term Achim, it was Mina Avelo Mina Aim. They had four different mothers, but it was all the same father, and therefore they used the term achin, because right after they said achim anachin, they said bnei yish achad, that luchor is extra. So that's what the Rashbam points out. It's to tell me that dafka achim min av or bnei yish echad are called achim, whereas achim min aim, if they were not bnei yish echad but bnei isha achas, then they would not be called achim. So afkan min av velo min aim. So here also it's min av velo min aim are called achim, and therefore only they can be yoresh and mor. Why do I need this gezeirus shava? After all, mi mishpachto v'yarash osa ksiv. That it says mi mishpachto, and we darshan mishpachas av kriya mishpacha. Mishpachas emein kriya mishpacha. That we had, I think it was in yesterday's daf, that only mishpachas av is called mishpacha, not mishpachas em. So once you use the term mishpacha, shouldn't we already know that it doesn't include maternal brothers, only paternal brothers? So says Mar, yeah, enochinam. When Rabbi said this gezeirus shava, he was saying it about yibum, that only brothers who share a father are able to be miyabim, not brothers who share a mother. But as far as Yerusha is concerned, it's more obvious. We already know that it's only mishpachas av is kriya mishpacha. It says by yibum ki yeshu achim yachtav u'meisachim neyamu ben ein lo. So we darshan that achim that it says by the bnei Yaakov teaches us about the achim that it says by yibum, that it's only going to be achim mina av. Okay, so Bezrashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the two dots, v'ish es imo. Everyone have a wonderful day. Guten Kvittel.